And I pray that the Lord will truly bless us as we open the scriptures together this evening.
Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Let's read the scriptures. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Keep our Bibles open. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word this evening, and we pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt take of Thy word, that Thou wilt write it and apply it to the hearts of each and every one of us that's gathered here this evening. Thou knowest our hearts, for they're open before Thee. Thou knowest our individual and personal needs. And, O God, I pray that Thou wilt meet precious souls at the very point of their need this evening through Thy precious word. We thank Thee for the challenge of Thy word. We thank Thee that for the conviction that is brought to our hearts through Thy word. We thank Thee for the conversion that is brought through the foolishness of preaching that Thou hast ordained to save them that believe. And so to this end, O God, give me and fill me the blessed power of the Holy Ghost. Please, Lord, empty me of self and sin and cover me in the blood and give me that power I need just to exalt and uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. And, O God, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit tonight may sinners be drawn to saving faith in Jesus. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I wonder how many in the congregation can look back over their lives and you can think about those days of school. Now, I know whenever older people speak to the children, they say, you know, those are the best days of your life. And I've often wondered, they sometimes say, you know, I wish I had the opportunity to go back. I wonder if they were given the opportunity, the school bag was put in their back, how many would go. Very easy to say. But, you know, there you were sent to learn. Well, that was the purpose of going. You, to be honest, some pupils are very hard to teach. No matter what the teacher does, somehow it doesn't sink in. Some simply hate school. They just, from the minute they go through the door, they just can't wait until the moment the bell rings for them to go home. They think it's a waste of time. Some are just too lazy. They just could not be bothered to learn. Even though they have the capacity to do so. Others, well, they know that they have to, it's hard work. But you see, they have a goal. They intend to achieve it. And then there's that few that somehow lessons and schools are a very easy journey. Because somehow it comes so natural to them. But you know, tonight in this service, you and I need to realize that every day we live is a school day. Because we're always learning. And I don't care how old you are. There's always something more that you can learn. Now, every day that God gives is a gift. Very special gift from God, friend. And we've got to use that day that God gives it. Use it wisely. The psalmist, in actual fact, he realized that he needed to be taught, and he actually prayed, and over and again, over and over again in the Psalms. The psalmist said in Psalm 25, he says, show me thy way, O Lord, and teach me. Lord, teach me thy path. He was a pupil ready to listen. Psalm 86 and verse 11, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord. And when you teach me, I will walk in thy truth. In Psalm 90, Moses said, teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Not only teach me, Lord, but oh God, help me to learn. Oh God, help me to take it in. Teach me to number my days, because I've only a short time, but teach me not to number my years, but to teach me to number my days, that I might apply my heart unto wisdom, that I might live those days right, well, good for God. Then the psalmist said also, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. And so the psalmist prayed earnestly that God would teach him. In the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians, verse number 6, it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth. Here's the teacher. Here's the taught. And the psalmist was saying, God, you're the teacher, and I'm the taught. God, I want you to teach me. And I want, in the closing part of the service tonight, to talk about a lesson. And it was a lesson about God and about man. Look at verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And then it says, not only that God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so here's a lesson tonight. Here's a lesson that I believe that God wants you and I to learn. And I can tell you this, you will be wise if you follow this instruction from God's word, my friend. Because you can't beat what God says here. Listen, be not deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's the law of the harvest. Now, I appreciate that whenever this verse is written, Paul's primary application was to God's people. But I believe it's also applicable to those who are in the service tonight that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to think of very simply, four simple things. First of all, here is an earnest plea. In the opening words, it says, be not deceived. Here is the man of God, unctionized and empowered by the Spirit of God. And he's pleading with men and women. He says, listen, do not be deceived. Where there is to cause to stray, to lead astray. Stop being led astray or wandering off the path. Now, why is such a plea made, friend? Be not deceived. Because the truth is this, that it's very possible for you to be deceived. Do you remember away back there in the Garden of Eden, whenever God said to Adam, he said, Adam, of all those trees thou shalt eat freely off. But God says, Adam, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. And the day thou, if you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. That day thou shalt surely die if you disobey me, the law of God. Now you know that the serpent came to Eve and he beguiled her, and he said to her, you know, have God said, are you sure that this is what God said? He puts a question mark over the authority of the Word of God and the authenticity of the Word of God. And so he said, are you sure that God has really said this? How can you be sure this is God speaking? And he said, has God said, thou shalt not eat thereof? You know, Eve, she answered the serpent, and actually she misquoted what God said to Adam. She added to it and she took from it. You know, God didn't say, lest you die. God says, thou shalt surely die. God didn't say, listen, you can't touch it, but God says, thou shalt not eat of it. But she added on to what God had said. She took away from what God had said, and so therefore she entered into a conversation with the devil. And my friend, the devil turned to her, and he said to her, he said, listen, thou shalt not surely die. In actual fact, he quoted God's. He quoted what, he knew what God said. Thou shalt surely die. She didn't say that. But the devil just added one word. Thou shalt not surely die. And how that one word makes all the difference, friend. And the devil deceived her. And she looked upon that fruit and listened. Now as she entered in and the fruit there appealed to her senses and her fleshly desires. And then she gave in and she took of that fruit. And then she gave it to her husband. And the Bible says, and he did eat. Deception. God says, be not deceived, because you see, the devil deceives men and women. You say, but the devil wouldn't deceive me. How could the devil deceive me? There are people tonight, let me tell you this, and the devil says to you, listen, don't you come to Christ. Listen, the Spirit of God is drawing nigh, and the Word of God is saying that boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day brings forth. And the devil says, come on, listen, some other meeting, some other time, some other tomorrow. God says, boast not yourself of tomorrow. And what do men and women do, friend? They get up from a solemn gospel meeting with the appeal of the Spirit of God as they're working upon their heart. And even some of them go out in tears, but they walk out listening to the lie of the devil, just the same as Eve was. Deceived. And many a person, let me tell you, my friend, from that night onwards, they've never been moved by the Spirit of God again. And God handed them over to their sin, but they were deceived by the devil. Now the devil said, you're not in danger. There's no such thing as hell. Why, everybody, sure, you hear the preacher say, everyone's going to heaven. End of the journey. The whenever you die, they'll bury you in the sure and certain hope of the glorious resurrection. Doesn't matter what the preacher says, friend, you're already in eternity. Preacher can't change your destiny. If you die without Jesus Christ, you're in hell. And the preacher at the side of your coffin will not be able to change your destiny. Oh, he can make himself a liar. He can try to appease and appeal to the family and please the friends. But let me tell you, it doesn't change your destiny. Your eternal destiny, the devil says, no! There is no danger. But the Bible says, Jesus said in John chapter 8, the devil's a liar. John 8:44. The devil's a liar. So he is, friend. And liars are deceiving. They lie to deceive. Oh, the devil says to Eve, you know, Eve, if you took of that fruit, you'd become as God. That's your fact. You're no longer under him. You'd become your own God. In other words, if you just take that fruit, it'll lift you up and you'll become as God. And yet, my friend, when you read that chapter in the book of Genesis, it's not the elevation of man, it's the fall of man. How did it happen? To see. You see, maybe there's someone sitting in this meeting tonight unsaved, and maybe you're a young person. You say, well, listen, I want to enjoy life. I just want to enjoy all that life has got to give. And maybe sometime later on, before I step out into God's eternity, I'll get right with God. Let me tell you, friends, as I've already quoted, God says, didn't say what age. He says, boast not thyself. That's you, young person, just the same as me. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. when a young man has stepped into a car to go home. But he never got there. Many a person sat waiting for, as a brother-in-law of mine did, was sitting waiting to get his evening meal. But when he was called to take it, he was sitting dead. 50 years of age. See, my friend, you're deceived if you think that somehow it's all in your hand. You're the boss. You're the master. No, friend, you're not. The master made you. And that's why Amos the prophet said, prepare to meet thy God. Because you have a meeting with God, friend. And not one will miss it. No matter what the devil says. You see, you can be deceived by the devil himself. You can be deceived by false teachers. In this book of Galatians chapter 1, look at it just for a moment. In Galatians chapter 1, look at verse number 6. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse number 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And there were those that came to these people and deceived them. There were these Judaizers who urged them to return unto legalism and away from faith in Christ alone. And they were being deceived. And Paul said, listen, he said, I marvel that you've been removed so quickly. And then he went on to say, listen, though, verse number 8, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You know what that means, friend? Let him be accursed. It means let him go to hell. That's what God says. Let that man that stands before a congregation and tells them that baptism's the way to heaven, that tells them that confirmation's the way to heaven, that tells them good works is the way to heaven. Let me tell you, my friend, he's a liar. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. What an awful thing to stand at the judgment throne of God, friend. And when the records of God is read, that man stood and deceived a congregation who believed in him. Somehow he would tell them the truth of God. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4? Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. I don't care what way his collar's around, friend. If he's preaching any other gospel than through Christ alone, faith in Christ alone, through the blood of Christ alone, salvation in Jesus Christ and the finished work of his cross alone, then it's a false gospel. And he's a deceiver. And Jesus says, I warn you, take heed that no man deceive you. But you know, friends, it's possible. It's possible for the devil to deceive you. It's possible for the agents of the devil, even though they might be a preacher or a teacher, to deceive you with false teaching or false cults, deceive you. But then there's another deception. And that is deceiving oneself. Look at verse 3. Chapter 6. If any man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth who? Himself. He's deceiving himself. Now keep your hand there for a moment. Turn over to 1 John. The first epistle of John. And it's good to remember, my friend, what the Word of God says to us, because it is possible for men and women to deceive themselves. 1 John in the chapter number 1. And what does it say in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if you're here tonight and you think that you're not a sinner, that somehow that you're different than the rest of humanity, that somehow that you have been born differently, the Word of God says that we are born in sin, we're shaped in iniquity, and you say, no, I don't believe that. That's not me, that's others. Tell that about the drunkard. Tell that about the immoral person. But don't talk to me, the church-going, clean-living person. No sin? No sin to be forgiven. No sin to be pardoned. No sin to be put under the blood. What does God say? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And friend, I'm not talking to you about deceiving somebody else. I'm not talking to you about pretending to someone else that everything's all right. But you're telling yourself. Your precious soul that is headed to God's eternity. And you're saying to yourself, I don't need God's salvation. I don't need God's pardon. I don't need the blood of Jesus to cover my sin, because I have no sin. For all of that, no, it's not for me. God says you're deceiving yourself. And there you are, headed to God's eternity. Headed out to that meeting with God, friend. And the God you're going to meet says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. And the truth is not in you. You know what that means? You're lying to yourself. Giving yourself a false hope, a false security. And that's why the Holy Spirit of God says through Paul here to the Galatians, be not deceived. But very quickly, notice the emphatic proclamation in the verse. Be not deceived. What? God is not mocked. God's not mocked. And that means literally to turn up the nose at God. It means to scorn. It means to sneer. It means to deride. It means to ridicule. It means to treat with contempt. But you say, listen, here I am sitting in a service on a Saturday night when many others are out in the pubs and the clubs, and here I am sitting in a service. Surely, surely that should mean something to God, that I'm not like them. Friend, listen. If God says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in us. But then that same chapter goes on to say, verse number 10, 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. We're calling God a liar. Has that not turned up your nose in God? Has that not sneering at what God says? Has that not deriding what God says? Is that not ridiculing what God says? I don't need God's salvation because I have not sinned. Not only I have no sin, but I have not sinned. Therefore, I don't need to be forgiven and pardoned like the sinner. You're mocking God, friend. You're calling God a liar. You know why? Because Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says this. All have sinned. No, not some. All, including me. All have sinned. And if I say I have not sinned, I'm calling God a liar. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. And His word is not in us. You're mocking God, friend. You're mocking God. You see, I wouldn't do that. But you're living that. You're living a lie to yourself and telling your soul what God says in this book really doesn't count, because somehow that you know better, and it's somehow that you'll get away with sin. And God will not call you to account. Look at the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. Just keep your hand in Galatians there. Proverbs chapter 1. And in the book of Proverbs, in the chapter number 1, it says this. God saying, summing it up, in verse number 28, He said, or verse number 24 rather, He says, I have called, ye refuse. I stretched out my hand, but no man regarded it. Ye have settled not all my counsel. Ye would none of my reproofs. In other words, when God reached out His hand, you pushed it away because you didn't see that you needed that hand of pardon. You needed that pardon and forgiveness of God. And God says, I called. But not only you didn't answer, He says you refused. I think one of the saddest verses in the whole of the Bible, friend, is what Jesus said Himself. He said this, ye will not come to me. Notice the words. He says, ye will not. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. He says, I have called, but ye have refused. He says, I have reached out my hand, but ye just pushed it away, for ye disregarded it. Ye didn't want my reproof. That's mocking God, friend. But in that book of Proverbs, chapter 1, and we read verse 24, read verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock. This is God speaking, friend. God says, I will mock when your fear comes. You see, you don't get away with your sin. Because, very quickly, here is established, thirdly, an established principle. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I was reared on the farm. You know, it didn't take you to be a specialized farmer to know this, that if you sowed wheat, you didn't get barley. And if you sowed the potatoes, you didn't get rice. You reap what you sow. That's the law of the harvest. You see, we reap only what we sow. And in our lives, we make choices. Because life's filled with choices, and we need wisdom to make the right choices. What did Joshua say? Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. And what is sown in life, friend, and the choices we make, we reap the harvest. I want you to remember this. You in our lives have the ability and freedom to make our choices. But we haven't the power to decide the consequences. You haven't the power because that's in the hand of God. Robert Louis Stevenson said, sooner or later in life, we all sit down to a banquet of consequences. The consequences of sin, because we reap only what we sow. That is the law of the harvest. There's something else, friend. You do not necessarily reap in the season that you sow, because you've got to wait for the harvest. And the Bible tells me in the book of Ecclesiastes, to everything there's a season, there is a purpose under heaven, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. You know, many of them think, you know, because they somehow God doesn't step in immediately and judge them, that they've got away with it. Remember some years ago we were in Macrofelt. There used to be a Macrofelt and District May Festival. It was called Mad May Festival. And I remember we used to put up a little stall in the Diamond, as there were a multitude of other stalls. And we had a Bible stall. And people would gather into the town, and there would be Bibles there to be sold, but also gospel tracts were given out. And I remember I was away at a meeting. I came back and these young people were setting up a stall in the Diamond of Macrofelt, and across it was Mary's Pub, Mary's Lounge. And a man staggered out of Mary's Lounge and walked over to this group of young people. And I came back, they were all troubled, and I said, what's wrong? What's troubling? He said, listen, there's a man come out there. And whenever he saw that, he said, what are you selling? And they showed them the Bibles, and he laughed and they mocked him. And he said, listen, if there's a God up there, he says, I defy you now, strike me dead. Young people said, Mr. McRae, he walked away laughing. They walked away laughing. Why didn't God take them on? Well, the Bible tells me that God's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. But friend, turn your Bible just 1 second to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8. You understand this. You understand this. Because let me tell you, my friend, that man would not get away with what he did in defying of God. Because in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the chapter number 8, and look at verse number 11, it says this, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the Son of Man is fully set on them to do evil. In other words, because God didn't strike him down that day, listen, he thought he got away with it. But let me tell you, that man had to meet God. That man had to stand before God, friend. Look at verse number 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times... and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. No, he'll not prolong his days 1 second longer than God gives him. You see, when you sow the harvest, you don't reap the next day, or next week, the next few weeks. No, you have to wait for the harvest to grow. But what you sow, you reap. And then also remember this, you reap more than you sow. Remember, we used to put in a field of potatoes. You drop them in. And then was time to plough the fields. And you know, we didn't get the same amount of potatoes out that we put in. That would have been a failure. We got bags of potatoes. Because that's the law of the harvest. And friend, let me tell you this. You see, I don't know how long God will give you here, but at best, it's only a short time. But remember, you reap the harvest eternally. And you live your short life in sin, and that day when God calls you to give account before Him and the books of God are open, and He says to you, sinner, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, and they shall be turned into hell, the Bible says, or cast into the lake of fire. And they're there forever. Listen, there's no return. My brother said earlier on, where will you be in a million years, if you could imagine that? You'll be out in eternity, friend. And those who die in Christ will be with Him forever. And though that dies without Him, will be lost in hell forever. And there's no coming back. The last thought I want to leave you with, an experienced physician. If I had time, I could go through this Bible and show you the law of the harvest. Remember David? David sinned. He put Uriah into the front of the battle. David sinned. He took Bathsheba. He lay with her. And you know, he reaped what he sowed. Not only did that child die, but his own son, Absalom, that he loved, rose up against him. His own son became a murderer. And then, one day, Absalom was slain. And David followed him to the grave and said, O Absalom, my son, my son. Would God that I had died for thee. Why, friend? Why do you say that? Because David got right with God. But Absalom didn't. And Absalom's son, the son of David, went to hell. Ask Jezebel. Do you remember the one? And she stole Naboth's vineyard and she gave it to Ahab. And she said, here it is. Here it is, the vineyard you long for. She gave it to him. But you reap what you sowed. 3 years later, she paid the price. And she too is out in God's eternity. Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot sat in the presence of the Savior. He listened to His teaching. He watched His miracles. But he sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. And he reaped what he sowed. And then he took those 30 pieces that he craved after. He said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And he threw the pieces down. And he went out and hanged himself. And went to hell. Listen, be not deceived, friend. Don't let the devil deceive you. That somehow you can sin and get away with it. That somehow that you can sin and God will overlook it. Thank God, God has provided in His Son the Savior for sinners. And God offers you salvation. And He reaches out His hands. And the nail-printed hands of Christ beckons you to come. And He says, come unto Me. And I'll give you rest. And I'll give you pardon. And I'll give you peace within your soul. But He said, you will not come. And then He says, you shall die in your sin. And where I am, you can't come. No matter what the preacher says, God says you can't come. If you reject the Savior. There's only one way to heaven, friends. It's not the church. It's not baptism. It's not confirmation. It's not the preacher. It's not good works. Salvation is of the Lord. Jesus saves. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I beg you to come. Come tonight and be saved. Come to Jesus. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Now, He'll save you. Hallelujah. He'll save you now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, as we bow before Thee, in Thy holy presence, it's invitation time. Oh God, You stand at the door of sinners' hearts. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open that door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with Me. But oh God, there are those perhaps tonight in this meeting and Thou hast spoken and called and knocked before, but they're still not saved. You reached out Your hand, but they didn't regard it. You called, but they refused. Friend, the meeting will be over in a moment, but as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder, is there someone sitting in those seats tonight? Honestly before God, you know, I'm not saved. My father, my mother, my brother, my sister, my friends are saved, but I'm not. Oh, I beg you in God's name, don't leave tonight without Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed and God's people are praying. I wonder in the stillness and the quietness of this service as every head is bowed before the Lord, friend. I wonder if there's someone tonight and you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. Is there someone here tonight and you're backslidden? And before God, you'd love to get back to the place where once you were. Get back to the cross. O Lamb of God, I come. Will you come? And if there is one whose heads are bowed and eyes are closed and God's people are praying, want to make a simple appeal. Say, preacher, point me to Jesus. Or point me back to the Lord as a backslider. I wonder, would you lift that hand right now above your head that I see it? Indicate that desire. And when the meeting's over, we'll go to the minister's room and we'll open the Word of God and we'll show you God's way of salvation or restoration. Final moment, is there someone? O Lamb of God, I come. O Father, take of thy word, write it upon hearts. Let not one tonight leave without Jesus. We'll give them deciding grace. Bring them to Christ to be saved. We ask it in his lovely name. Amen. If we're here tonight and if someone wants to speak to us, please don't go away. Don't go away without the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to your hearts. I don't say go home and come back tomorrow and then decide, because I can't say that. Remember, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Make this the day of your salvation. God bless you. God save you. Amen.